Last time on the Goblin Market, Deenfa, Charnak, and Ebus fought a hedge mage slaver ice lock named Paulus Grovekind in a frozen cave. Deenfa and Charnak's reams were both killed, but thankfully they had not eaten the food or drank the drink of the plain, so the Kybers were only shunted out and the reams resubstantiated in the contract enforcement infirmary. Meanwhile, Ebus was able to pilot her halfling ream to victory. She went against goblin rules and took a foot-long metal cylinder that seemed to be emanating magic from the plane. So far, at least, its existence remains secret to her crew and Mercantile. Finally, the crew met up at Zagat's tub in the bathhouse, and while schwitzing together, Zagat revealed two important thoughts. One, there have been multiple deaths of members of their stall and Mercantile, all of them suspicious, but all explainable. And two, Zagat thinks the crew's old crewmate Hawthorne's execution was related to something called the Blue Foundry. She says she has asked everyone she can ask in the Mercantile, and now they have a new mission given directly by stalwart Josie, the one who took Hawthorne's head. This mission is going to be very dangerous, and they're going to need all the help they can get from this merc, or maybe from people they know at another merc. It's time for Dungeon Dads.
To the river they tread, only to be swept away.
Morning and evening you may hear the cry, candies and berries and baubles to try, sweet to the tongue and sound to the eye, but heed words of caution when you then decide to come by, come by, get, come by, come by, get, come by, get, come by.
Just beware the Goblin Market.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the podcast. You're listening to the Dungeon Dads.
Yeah, you are.
This is the Goblin Market.
Yeah, it is.
As always, I'm your DM, Tom Blaylock, and I'm joined today by Sam Frank playing Charnak the Botanist. What's up, Sam?
How's it going, Tom?
Are you ready for this?
Good. You're unclogging your head a little bit.
No, I've got a clogged up nose. And John's telling me I should take something called a nasal spray. I've never had one before.
Now you're lying to the world.
Now it's a dad podcast.
Act like you don't know what the damn thing is.
I don't know what it is. I've seen it in videos. I saw Steve Martin in some movie do it a lot. But, you know, it seemed like a gag. So it's not something I thought was real medicine. Tim Carr playing Ebus the Tiefling. What's up, Tim?
What's happening? I'm sorry your nasal passages are swollen shut, but hey, you're here and that's what's important.
Yeah. If I pull my face like this, I can kind of feel. That's actually kind of good. Does this look weird?
Yeah, just do that.
The listeners think it looks okay.
And John Watson playing Deenfa the Giyadamar. That's Asimar.
Oh, that's, man. That's Asimar. Kids be like.
Kids do be like.
I'm having the best day ever.
It is your birthday.
It is my birthday.
Yay, birthday, John.
Yay.
Happy birthday, John.
Yeah. Yay. I'm so old now.
I know exactly how old you are, only because of your old email address, which I will not say on the air, but it had your birth year in it. And you quickly moved away from that.
Realized, wait a minute, I'm dating myself here.
I thought it was like Paula Abdul fan number one. Yeah. At hotmail.com. It's like, yeah, we know how old you are, John.
Yeah.
Straight up now, tell me, John, how old are you?
Well, yeah. I mean, just
old enough that people won't know who that is. Yeah.
That's when he switched to MC Scat Cat at Yahoo. Yeah.
My brother was born in 1969, and his email address, his first email address was Big Sean 69 at, and then the thing. I think you could still email him there, actually. He'll get it. But his wife is like, you know what, Sean? I think you shouldn't do that anymore. Let's change that. All right. So this is your last chance for this, John. During this episode, what birthday present do you want Dinfa to receive?
Oh. I'll tell you right now. I want him to receive an object that will cast the shield spell for his ream.
Okay, but it'll be one-time use.
One-time use per short rest.
Nah.
Per existence of the object. Yeah.
It ain't fiction, John. You know, yeah, it's a fact.
John, that was cute. That was cute. Yeah, I'll give you a shield scroll. all right. Guys, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Okay. Ready. So we did leave off last time in the bathhouse. Hopefully, in the Goblin Market, we're going to be more comfortable with jumps in time. Mm-hmm. We're going to come in now after the briefing in the KSCAT.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to just give you...
I was like, because I kind of need that briefing.
Well, I'm just going to tell you, you were not briefed on anything that you were going to be doing. So Zagat went through the new missions where people are going to go out on. Mostly they were just continuations. People come back. They do new sorties, you know, back and forth so that their reams don't have to eat. They don't have to eat. They don't have to sleep. They don't run the risk of attuning to the planes. So most of the missions that people go on are, you know, 2 to 8 hours long. And then they come back and they sleep in the Goblin Market and they eat and they go back. And so that it was nothing interesting.
I mean, I'm willing to accept all of that as long as if I ask a question in the future, you don't say, sorry, that was in the briefing.
Yeah, of course not. Yeah. So all the information you got was that another crew was going to be on a mission with you and that... that crew already had their instructions, and that crew is headed up by Hanky Goldfeather, and you know Hanky kind of well. He is a racial goblin. You know, you've only been in the same stall for a few months.
You knew you were going to need a Hanky for this episode.
This is you knew it. He's got a brother named Vunk, and Vunk is not in his crew, oddly enough. Usually, siblings are in the same crew if they're in the Goblin Market together, but they're not. So they're going to be with you. They've already left, and this is the next day. Zagat comes up to you, Charnak, and says, okay, do you think we can... meet your contact in the Magical Oddities Mercantile? Have you had a chance to set it up?
It's complicated because you have to sort of ask him the opposite of what you want.
Well, I'm assuming you already have asked him the opposite of what you want. Should we expect him in the bathhouse?
I said, whatever you do, don't go to the bathhouse. So he should be here any minute.
Okay. Let's make our way. Let's make our way there. I'll fill you in on what we're doing.
Thank God.
As we're waiting for him. And so you're walking through the mercantile, and you have a market square there, like that is very much like the roving goblin markets that you see and that are run out of wagons. So there's like hundreds of these wagons that you're going through this market, and you know, they take your CEs is what they're called. That's your money. and the contract enforcement. So as you're walking, Zagat says, "So there's a druid who was also a Kyber, and she was supposed to be raising up a Reem, the son of a young noble, and she stole him. She stole the Reem out from underneath the noble's nose and out from underneath the goblin market's nose. Apparently, they've shown up in A12, the very plane where we just went."
So, just hearing that right now, I sort of feel like I didn't know that was possible.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. not
your that character somebody might could
potentially
not
walk
either.
Off with a Reem, but that, like, someone would, like, go against the goblin market.
Yeah.
In such an obvious way. Like, what do you expect is going to happen?
Yeah, well, so she, best guess, she faked her own death and decided to take out a very young body for a spin. They've been seen in a small town, in a tavern multiple days in a row. We do have contacts there, and I'm not looking forward to the fight, if it comes to that.
Both of them have been seen there, the Kyber and the Reem?
Well, just the Reem, but he speaks with a strange old woman's voice. So we know she's piloting him, but we don't know where she is.
No, that would seem to be priority number one.
Not our mission. Hanky and Vunk and their crew will be handling that mission.
Hanky and Vunk are working together?
Don't even get me started. I don't understand.
How many crews are there already?
Hanky's whole crew is there. And Vunk, for some reason, has been sent by Josie to help.
It is strange.
Very strange. It's supposed to be me that decides who goes on what missions in my own stall. I get the mission. I say, we go now. And you go here, and you go here, and you go here. This is all very strange.
Well,
all I
what's
know
the job?
is that we're supposed to bring back our responsibility is to bring back the Reem here and take it straight to the contract enforcement court. It's okay if the Kyber is inside of them. Hanky and Vunk are supposed to be bringing the body back with them. I mean, the Kyber.
So our job is to get the Reem and bring it back, and Hanky and Vunk get the Kyber, and that is all we worry about.
I mean, yes.
How long has this Reem been gone?
The Reem has been gone 6 months. Ah. The Kyber has been gone 40 years.
Our time.
40 years, our time.
Oh my. So definitely bring the Reem back alive.
Yes.
Don't just kill the Reem and send it back to the market.
Well,
he would have eaten.
He would definitely be attuned to A12.
That changes things in my mind.
Yeah, it changes things in my mind.
What a strange choice to go to A12 if you don't want to be found. Why would you go to an A realm? Why not go somewhere slower?
I have a theory. I think she wants to be found. And I think I think she wants to come back. This all seems related to the recent problems in the market. I don't know how. I don't know why. But they seem to be together. So I think instead of just attacking and hitting her with all the psychic damage we can, I think we ought to try and talk to her and get her to come back here of her own volition. Josie let me know she is very interested in having them separated. But she didn't come right out and say that was a necessity. I don't trust Josie.
Remind us what happens if Reem leaves the plane and the Kyber does not. Are their ties severed?
I'm going to tell you I don't fully know. I think that you would just get shunted out. It's not something that we studied in Kyber school, and it's certainly not something that the Reems learn. Even me as Stallmaster, I could ask, but I worry that it might sound like I am working against Josie if I ask.
No, it is okay.
The plan is for them to come with the Kyber, carrying it. Hopefully they want it to be
piloting.
Yes, if it's piloting still, the Kyber will not be a threat. She is a powerful druid in her own right, even when she is not piloting, though. If it comes to a fight, we should run.
We will need some things.
Yes, indeed.
Potions this time for these brave boys.
Anything you want. There's when you leave the bathhouse, Ideer will go with you. And he has a 2,000 CE credit that he can spend on this mission. And I know that's not normal. We normally just get outfitted by our quartermaster, but I fear we will not be sufficiently outfitted for this mission.
And yet we have to go. It must be us, yes?
It must be us. She said very specifically, it must be me and my crew. And you see a commotion at the front of the bathhouse. And Sam, remind me, what's the race of the adjunct Marquis de Hage?
Now you remind me, because I didn't set that. Okay. You just told me in the first episode.
Yeah, I think he's
gnome too, isn't he?
He's gnomish. Yeah, he's gnomish. I have a picture of him here. He's gnomish. So yeah, you see this man in a very formal suit, trying to come in the front door. He's bald headed, has a big thick beard that goes sort of all the way around. It's a bit of an Abraham Lincoln beard. Doesn't have a mustache. And he has a monocle in his eye that is all fogged up. And you hear him say, I'm telling you, that is the man who is holding my items. He told me that they would not be here, but that I know that means that they are, in fact, here. He stole them from me.
Charnak takes special pains to look totally relaxed.
And the bathhouse attendant looks back over at Zagat, and Zagat says, is that him?
Markeef de Hedge, what in the world are you doing here? And he winks at Zagat. Yeah.
And so she motions her two fingers to that he can come in. So the guard at the front, you know, doesn't recognize him, but also has no reason to think he's not in contract enforcement, and lets him come over. Now, what's this all about? Are you the one who's took my books?
I was about to ask you, what's this all about?
Well, I had two books stolen, and then you made a very strong point of telling me that they were not here in the bathhouse, and so I figured that they must be here in the bathhouse, and that you were playing some kind of fool around with me, botanist.
Do I know what information Zagat's looking for?
You know that she is looking for information on the Blue Foundry.
Right. Okay. So it's just that general at this
point. And she knows that he's in the Magical Oddities and that you might be able to get items from him for this mission.
Okay. Are you accusing me of stealing your books?
That's the only thing I can think of. I was there in the square, and you came, and then suddenly my books were gone.
You'd think I was a member of the Blue Foundry or something.
And then he hears you say that, and he looks around, and he says, what did you say?
I said, and I say it really low, so he has to lean in close. You'd think I was a member of the Blue Foundry or something.
How have you heard of this?
Well, how have you heard of it?
Well, I'm in the Magical Oddities Mercantile, of course. Of course I know the Blue Foundry.
Mm-hmm. Perhaps I heard of them the same way you did.
Inconceivable. They're not... They have nothing to do with contract enforcement. All they do is make new magical items.
I assure you, there are several things that are inconceivable to you that I am capable of conceiving of quite readily.
Pish bosh. Have you called me here to get me to inform on my mercantile's most valuable resource?
My dear friend, Markeef, I would remind you, I have not asked you here at all.
This is interesting. And he looks around and he sees Zagat, and there's a moment where he doesn't quite know who she is, and then you see something clicks in his head and he goes, Madam Zagat, I have heard many stories of you. It is very nice to meet you.
Indeed, you have heard stories about me. Interesting. I did not think I was popular at Magical Oddities.
Well, no, you're not popular in Magical Oddities at all. But we know about your excursions to the Jungle Room.
And she says, you will do well to keep that to yourself.
Now, are we expected to know what that is?
No, you've never heard of this. In fact, that's super weird.
I've heard. I've heard there's a pretty little thing. Waiting for the king. Down in the jungle room.
And then Markeef looks up at you and goes, have you been meeting the king? Have you been meeting King Bodom in the jungle room? No, of course not. It's a saying that people say. But that would make sense. That might make sense about why you go there. We all thought that you were there training.
My dear Markeef Dehich, honored academic and brilliant researcher, I believe you're indulging in your favorite fallacy of jumping to conclusions. Just because something would make sense does not mean it is factual.
That's very true. That's very true. Point well made and taken. Charnak, I guess you're not completely an idiot.
So if your books are missing, why not simply have the Blue Foundry make you new ones?
Please don't say that name. It's very bad that someone I consort with would have that name on their lips. Keep it off of your tongue.
I understand. So are we not to know that the BF creates magical items for your mercantile?
Well, that would be very bad if people knew that.
I must admit, I feel like a toddler in a dark room with a flamethrower. My dear Markeef, armed with knowledge, yet without the knowledge to know how it might hurt if directed in any direction.
Well, just keep the directions to zero. No vectors are necessary here. What is it you want? And he collects himself and he says, "Madam Zagat, is there anything I might do to help you?"
"Well, you can keep to yourself this information about the jungle room, and perhaps after that, you can tell me the names of those in charge of the Blue Foundry and where I might find them."
I do not have a death wish. I would rather you kill me here now than those in the Foundry.
Well, if we do not receive answers here, we will be forced to ask others. And of course, we will have to tell them how we learned of the BF in the first place.
Chornak, please, please don't make me say anything. Anything else. I'll do anything else.
Have you ever known me to be in violation of the principles of academic discourse? I believe in all of my scholarly pursuits, I have always behaved ethically.
Well, I guess I'll agree to
yes,
that.
Yes, yes. Therefore, think of this as yet another academic investigation in which I am partaking. One in which the subjects and participants deserve to be kept anonymous.
Very well. I can only tell you what I know. And that is that while the Blue Foundry does make magical items, most of their items come from the other planes. They have a way of detecting when someone brings something here from outside.
No, I don't say that. Because I don't know, actually, right?
No, nobody knows.
Yeah.
In fact, everything, it just traveled. It was just a pile of armor in a bag.
Yeah.
I turn to Zagat and I go, please have mercy. The Markeef is only a minor scholar in the Department of Magical Oddities. I am sure he would not be trusted with more information than this.
That's right. All I ever do for the Blue Foundry is when they bring me items, I attune them to the Goblin Market so that they become ours and not from another plane, so they become not detectable. That's all I do. That's my only engagement with them, and it is very small.
What kinds of items?
Everything. Amulets, rings, very popular now are sewing kits, where one can sew something onto their own body that gives it magical properties. Weapons, everything comes back to the Goblin Market.
What is the strangest thing that has passed through your hands?
Oh, there was a cloak that was alive. It was speaking. It was angry. That was very strange. That was very strange indeed.
Well, you know what they say about magical cloaks.
No.
You will reap what you sow.
Is that all?
And I sort of look over at Zagat.
Adjunct Markeef, is it possible that we bring items to you that you could erase their trace?
Well, I would never, but yes, I could. One might.
Would it be possible for us to borrow items? Things that we would bring back immediately after a mission. Well, that would be very dangerous to me. And very profitable. He's lost in thought as he's trying to decide. This sounds like something he'd like to do.
I have one more question of a pressing nature. Have you ever seen an object that passed through your hands on behalf of the Earth in the hands of someone else?
Well, I have. And it is very scary.
Don't keep us in suspense.
A scimitar.
Yes.
A riding scimitar used by a cavalryman in a biplane. Very sharp. And when it hits someone, thunder booms through it. Your stalwart carries that very same scimitar. Josie.
Well, that seems completely normal and on the up and up.
Many stalwarts do have, you know, items from magical oddities.
But not many have ones specifically claimed from other planes and washed, or we say laundered, yes, by your team.
Yes, but my team is one of four that launders these items. So there could be many more, many others. Zagat reaches into her towel, which is behind the, on the other side of the bath, and she pulls out a wand and she says, "Can you wipe something that is from a different mercantile?" And he looks and he says, "That is from the merchant mercantile. Very dangerous. I am aware.
I was not aware." That's just a whisper aside to Ebus.
I could do it. I can clean this. Your assurance to me that it never comes back to me, that is the word that I would need from you. I can give it.
All right, nudge Ebus. Can you believe this? Crew bringing stolen magical items into our bathhouse. Not telling us about it.
Well, let us see where this goes, I suppose.
This will take 2 or 3 days for me to wash. It's okay. Wash away. Okay. And if you come back here, there's a door inside your library in the Magical Oddities Mercantile. Between H and G, there is a book called Finding the Numeria. Pull it, and you will enter back over there.
Very well.
And he gets up to leave.
And for the last time, I say now loudly, I don't have your books. I don't know where they are. And you should be looking anywhere else.
And he stomps off. That was very profitable. Thank you so much, Charnak.
That was quite deft, Charnak.
Well, I am a master manipulator.
So the Blue Foundry.
It is only my humility that keeps me from expounding more on the ways in which I can pull people's strings.
It's very interesting. The Blue Foundry is nothing. It's just another crew.
Yes, but one that seems to be acquiring and distributing an arsenal in secret-ish.
Yes.
And now they are stealing. We said that this has to do with stealing nobles as well, or no?
I don't know. I think we need to get there.
Do you need that thing washed before we go, or is that separate?
No, we can't wait.
He said several days. I think it will be good enough. It's very powerful. It is a very powerful anti-Kyber weapon. One that we might well need at some point.
You mean like on this mission we're about to go on?
And she says, put these around your reams next tomorrow when we go. And she hands you each small amulets and she says, they will give you the ability to cast a spell that potentially can knock a Kyber out of a ring.
Well, I like that. Thank you.
Yes.
It will knock us out of our reams.
If someone shoots it at you, it probably will. All right, you each have received an amulet of Mind Spike. And it allows you one single use of the spell Mind Spike.
So, I don't know if this is information that would be there in the briefing, or if it is, I don't know if it's information that I would have access to, or if this is something that's just sort of done in the moment. But I want to know where Vunk and Hanky and their crew are, where their safe house is.
So,
is there a way I can find that information?
So they haven't left yet.
Right.
So what I'll do is we're going to do a little bit of downtime, okay. Let you guys do some shopping. We're going to have one downtime activity. So if you want to be trying to explore and find out where Vunk and Hanky are going to have their safe house, that will be your downtime activity.
Yeah. And so generally speaking, this is something, that would be planned out ahead of time, right? Like, do we know where ours is?
I will just say how weird this mission is. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the first things that Zagat would probably tell you if you knew where the safe house was would be to tell no one.
Sure. And
so that may be the same kind of thing that they're hearing, but it's worth a try. Okay.
I may also, I don't know if this will do double duty, but as I might try to drop the information of where our safe house is, but the wrong information.
I gotcha.
Right. So I can't believe we're going to have to bunk, you know, all the way out and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It's going to drastically reduce our operating radius. Where they got you guys hold up? You know, not a little more circumspect than that.
Yeah.
But, you know.
So the information that you know you're having is that you're in the country of Hardat, which is in plane A12. Nowhere near where you had the Ream contracts.
Same in fact, plane. Yeah.
You know.
I mean, it's a different type of environment, everything. Very, very different. We'll get to those roles in a second, Sam.
Okay.
John and Tim, tell me what you want to do. You have some downtime activity. You have this information now. You have some gold you can go spend at the CNE Mercantile.
Yep.
That you can outfit your reams with or yourself.
I mean, I think Ebis would bring Davman along. If that's
a you guys are tight, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Just logistical question. Have we had a long rest since?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Long rest. This is the next day. This is the next day.
Right. Okay, cool. So I think, you know, it would be more like Ebis does the shopping, Davman does the carrying of the bags, and then keeps everything.
Yeah.
I think we'd get a couple of potions. You know, I mean, I'm guessing, I don't know how far 2000 CE stretches. I don't know if that's gold equivalent or if it's a fraction thereof.
Yeah, a fraction. Yeah. Tell me what you want and I'll.
I mean, I think, I don't actually know how much good a potion would do unless we're, I guess while we're running away, it might be useful. So I think healing potions come to mind since we don't have anybody that can really, you know, get anybody back up to health.
All right. So healing potions, there's no regular healing potions. There's only greater healing.
Okay.
And each one is 500 CE.
Hmm. Well, I wonder if I'd be doing the shopping with Dinfa, if Charnak has other plans, if we would be doing this together, or if it's just like one of us does that, or if there's anything he wants. So before I say what I'm going to spend, I assume we've had a conversation about like needs.
Dinfa, what's your downtime you want to do?
So Dinfa is interested in the healing potions and is trying to see if he can get an item that will cast the shield spell on.
Yeah.
On his ream.
So luckily, before you leave the bathhouse, Zagat says to you, you should know when that is on your ream's neck, it doesn't just have mind spike in it. It also has one casting of shield.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Just for you, buddy.
Just for you. Happy birthday, John Watson.
Yes. Thank you. Healing potions would be good. You said 500 CE?
Yeah.
So he would probably go in for what's the total that we each have that we all have together?
2,000 total.
2,000 total for everybody?
Yeah.
So
I don't know what else we need.
Right. That's the thing.
Well, if you're with a potion maker, I'll let you roll a D20 on a 15 or better. Actually, persuasion. It's a 15 or 20 persuasion.
That's all Ebis.
And if you get higher than 15 on your persuasion check, there is a special potion that you can also buy.
Okay.
For 500.
The only unusual thing I have on my list is some manacles.
Yeah, I think Ebis wanted to buy a couple of hoods or bags to throw over people's heads. So if we do find the Kyber or do find the Ream and we need to move them,
yeah,
we can make sure that they can't see.
Ropes built in. Let's say this. For,
I mean, if you want a bag, I can get you a bag.
So for 200 CE, all of those like small little things mm-hmm. you can get. And then give me Give me your persuasion roll, Ebus.
Okay.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Let's go.
Five.
Okay. All right. So, the person says...
This is a two.
Yeah, well, I've got a potion of haste here, but it's 1,000 CE.
I don't think that helps us. I think we need three healing potions.
All right. There's a baby haste here too. That's only 200. That's only 200 CE.
What is baby haste?
What is the difference?
It just makes you a little bit faster. Not your actions though. It's expeditious retreat. So it's a potion of expeditious retreat. So you could get three healing, the expeditious retreat, and all of your little things.
How many of those baby hastes that you called them do you have?
I got four.
Dinfa?
Yes.
Do you think that is a better choice?
Personally, I think we'll need the healing potions. If we are running, are we running away from the person? Do we feed one to the person we are picking up?
No, I think if we have to get away, we want the extra speed, but perhaps we also buy two healing potions. It is not enough, but perhaps not all of us will be hurt anyway.
So, you are saying two and two?
Two and three? Or do we need four?
I like it. Two and three. Two healing potions. Three baby hastes. Baby
haste. I'm picturing that like we just watch Big Trouble in Little China again. When Egg gives them all the magic potion. And then they're riding down in the elevator and it's silent. And then they're like, hey, I'm feeling pretty good. How about you? Yeah, I'm not scared at all.
So we will take two of your healing potions and three of your baby hastes.
Okay, that's 1600 CE. And you want... That yes. Junk over there, too?
Yes, the manticles and bags.
All right.
That junk, as you say.
All right, sounds good. And he gives you back your 200 leftover, or 300 leftover CE.
Okay. And I will hand all that stuff to Davman.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, he's like got all muscle. He's everywhere. It's hilarious.
And I'm assuming that I can have with Reese. I had a bow as well as a glaive.
Yeah.
Bow and arrows.
All the basic stuff. None of that stuff is any problem.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay. So John, how about you?
During the downtime, I'm going to go shopping and then I'm going to go back and visit Zagat.
Okay.
Zagat.
Yes.
Have you told us everything that you know about Hawthorne and this Blue Foundry? I would like to know as much as you know.
So, give me a perception check.
All right. 12.
So, you know, she's still in the bath. And she's stroking H's head as you're talking. And you notice just like a little slight... like nervousness, and she like grabs onto H when you bring up the Blue Foundry, and she says, I know more. I am the stall master. Of course I know more, but I've told you everything you need to know for this mission, and I there's nothing that's a secret, per se.
You say there is nothing that is secret, yet you say you've told me what I need to know. I would like to know what you know, so that I can make sure that we are all safe. At least one of us needs to be on the lookout. You've made me very nervous.
I'm sorry. The politics of this place, as you know, is very... It's nerve-wracking.
It is.
King Bodom is... only has 1 year left. They're looking for the next king. I fear that the eyes of the council might be upon me. And I am desperately hoping to spend my whole life here in the market, so I'm worried they will choose me to succeed Bodom.
You think they're going to make you rise in the ranks? You're going to be king?
That's what I'm afraid of. Does the Elk hate me so much that he would want me exiled? Like all the kings?
I don't know what would turn the Elk against you, sir. Is this... Did... Do you think Hawthorne knew some information about this?
Give me a perception check.
19.
Yeah. You notice that when you say Hawthorne, it wasn't really that you said the Blue Foundry last time. It's the mention of Hawthorne that makes her nervous, and she like squeezes H and says, Hawthorne had been meeting with someone not in this mercantile. I know this because she told me. I don't know who, I don't know what mercantile, but that wand that I gave Charnak's friend. That's what she came back with. And she said, compliments of the Blue Foundry. And the next day she was killed.
So you've had this the whole time?
No. I hit it on A12. When we went last time, while you were driving your reams, I left the hut, and I went and retrieved it.
And then you gave it to Charnak's friend?
If this adjunct Markeef is executed, we'll know we're onto something.
That is cold. Blooded. High five.
I could tell that he had never seen the thing when I gave it to him. So maybe they can't track it or trace it like they said that they could with other magical items. Maybe they can. I don't know.
So you never had the chance to study it, to figure out what
all I know is it is what they carry on their belts in the merchant mercantile. They're enforcers. And I've seen them cut down a Kyber with one. And I don't want to scare you. When they cut down the ream that the Kyber was flying, the Kyber was killed in their safe house at the same moment.
It can kill them both.
From afar.
Elk's peace.
I think the merchants know what we can do. That is what scares me, and I have no idea what they can do.
And I had never heard of the Blue Foundry until Hawthorne came back.
I know. I know we should not speak of this.
Yes.
But should we not investigate them?
The Foundry?
The merchants?
No, Dietfen, no. We must not. Too powerful. Half of the court is from the merchants. If you think I have a chance of becoming king, we go after the merchants. I will either be king or I will be dead. I will not be able to live out my life as I have planned. So no, we should not investigate the merchants. You and I should not, for sure. Maybe someone else.
And you said when you are king, perhaps you can.
Well, I don't want to be king.
But if you were, we could.
I would have 10 years to find out the mysteries, and then I would be exiled. Or dead. 50-50.
Just forgive me. It just seems we may be dead. Anyway, we are wrapped up in something here. You had the item that Hawthorne may have been killed over.
Yes.
And you handed it to someone that we have been seen with, who may also be executed for having it.
We shall see. He's a nobody. That's who you want to have your secrets. Nobodies.
I understand, but they will begin asking questions if they see you, me, Charnak, Ibis, with too many people who are being executed. Do you understand?
Let's get through this mission. The druid Sheba, I think, will be able to shed some light on this. We must make sure she lives.
Okay. I shall. Is there anything else you want me to keep my eyes open for?
Everything. Stay alive. They wouldn't dare strike us here in the market. But out there, maybe.
Okay.
But at least in theory, if they strike us out there, we just come back here, right?
Right, yeah.
And unless they're hitting us with things that kill both Reams and Kybers.
Maybe.
That would be a problem.
That would be a major problem.
All right, Sam. Charnak.
Okay, so I've been thinking about this while you guys were talking.
All right.
In a similar way to which Charnak would be mulling this over.
Yeah.
You know, scientist that he is. If there is treachery in the offing, they would have to already know where our safe house is going to be.
That right? is true.
And also, we're assuming that the Kyber that we're looking for is in the same general vicinity that the Reem has been sent in. Right?
That yes, that's right.
So their safe house would have to be in a 1 mile radius of both of those locations.
That's true. Yes.
So I could sort of draw two circles on the map, and where those circles overlap is the area that they have to be operating out of.
Absolutely. You got it.
Also then not worth planting false safe house information with them because they would know that I am lying.
Right. Yep.
So we will just have to go off book once we're deployed. So what I was thinking, and I feel like Charnak has sort of cultivated a reputation, maybe not entirely on purpose, as sort of an absent-minded professor type, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
By the book, doesn't always listen to the briefings, but, you know, is all about getting the job done and is not a, not somebody playing games, right?
Right,
yeah. Like this kind of ruse would be very out of character for him. So I'm thinking what I would do is go try to consult with the other crew and under sort of the guise of complaining about how they've put our safe house out too far for the area we're expected to operate in. Right.
Yeah.
And then sort of say, well, they could have put us here by the marker. How big is this village, by the way, that we're going to?
So big, bigger than a village. Let's call it it's a town, verging on city, probably 15,000 residents, 10,000 residents or so. It is the capital of Hardat, but it is not where the keep and the lord of this region lives. So this is sort of like there's a courthouse, a city hall, there's all kinds of you know, representative governments here, plus the big town, I mean the big shops and taverns, multiple taverns. So yeah, I mean it's a more than half a mile diameter.
And I assume there's sort of additional material for us to study or sort of look over outside of the briefing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So what I would do is find an excuse to complain to these guys about where they've dropped our safe house and then suggest a bunch of alternate locations. Like they could have put us over here by the meat market, but give wrong information.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, well, that's not the meat market. That's the, you know, whatever, whatever. And see if I can figure out which area these guys actually seem to know most about.
Great. Okay.
With the assumption that that would be where they're dropping it.
So I'm going to have you do two rolls. The first one will affect the second one. The first one will be deception or performance, up to you which one you prefer.
Well, Charnak's not great at either of those.
Okay. It's not going to be terrible either way.
Totally. Yeah. Okay.
But above a 10 is really, really good on this one.
18.
Great. Okay.
With a minus one, I rolled a 19.
So insight or perception, whichever one is higher for you.
Perception.
So what I'm going to do here is with an 18, you're only going to have a DC 10 perception check to get pretty close to exactly where their place is, based on their reactions to you and all of that. 5 to 10 is going to give you the area.
Okay. 11.
11. Okay. So you have a general sense that they know a whole lot about the area right around the Hotel de Ville, which is the sort of the government complex, the main government complex. So that's got court, mayor.
Why does that name sound familiar?
It's a very standard main square building.
Was that the name of the hotel in the town in the Gilbrain, where we had the portal with the guys coming through?
Yep. Sure was.
Holy shit, did I just pull that out of my ass?
You just pulled that right out of your ass.
Well done.
Yeah.
You remember that? What was the name of the... I keep wanting to say Bingtown because I've been reading Live Ship Traders, but it was...
Breentown.
Breentown.
Yeah.
Breentown. Yeah. That was the hotel in
Breentown. That was the one that we were investigating where it looked like the demons were coming out of there.
I mean, it's just the building of the village is what it, that's what it means. Just the building of the village.
Yeah. Hotel de Ville.
Yeah.
Of the Ville.
Of the Ville. So,
and it also kind of sounds like devil, which is creepy.
Right. Yep.
And I assume Charnak would know that, like, oftentimes with sort of urban missions like this, setting up in a hotel is sort of preferred.
Yeah.
So that would seem the likely target.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. That would be very, very likely. Or very near it.
Okay.
There's other taverns and pubs and things like that that are around there.
Okay.
Okay. Cool.
I am, as of yet, not sharing this information with anyone.
All right.
This is just Charnak covering his bases.
So, if we're done with the downtime stuff, Tim, anything you want to do about the cylinder tube? Just leave it with the armor.
I think because of the relationship between Ebus and Davman, I think she would point out that it's there, but now knowing that we're going back to A12 would basically be like, just make sure we bring it with us on the way back.
Okay.
And yeah, otherwise I think that armor would have been redistributed to Reese and,
yeah,
you know, and to,
Splendor,
yes. Yeah. To Reese and to Splendor.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think Davman would have it just in a pile of things and then it would come back.
Yeah.
So I don't know that he would have made any attempt to look at what it does. I mean, depending on how much time they've had, it's possible that Ebus would have, but we might also look at it when we're back on A12.
Okay. All right, cool. So we are going to skip a little time. And you all have managed to set up shop in your own safe house. Now, if you want to move safe houses, Sam.
Yeah.
I will let you do that.
I will propose to Zagat, and I feel certain she is paranoid enough to agree that there is no way we should use the safe house that has been
absolutely
set up for us. And I would hope that I have scoped out a suitable alternate location that will be difficult to find.
So,
but allow us access to where this Ream has been seen and also the Hotel de Ville.
So tell me where it would be. You can make up the place.
I think it would. I also feel like the Goblin Market Kybers are a little bit like, we're going to stay in the nicest hotel in town.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
we've got the fucking gold, you know, yes. And yes, nobody likes roughing it. So I think I would look for like a low rent tavern / inn, like the last place people would expect us to be staying. Not fancy, you know, like the Hotel de Ville.
So, so Zagat informs Idir, who is on this mission with you, that he is to stay in your pre-scheduled safe house.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I can do it. Good luck out there. Don't die. And she lets you know that she trusts him. But anyone knowing where you are is a danger.
And I would assume, actually, that none of us have ever actually died on a mission before.
I mean,
Kyber bodies.
No. Well, yeah. Your reams have gone, have died.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. See episode two. Yeah. But that's the Kybers, the Kybers getting killed is a very rare, if at all, thing.
Very rare. In fact, you all, none of you have ever done that. And you may have only heard of one or two people who this has happened to before.
I mean, not so much that we're going to order room service.
Right. Yes.
Yes. We're not that confident.
Right.
Right. But, yeah.
So you're in this sort of low rent place. Your reams do not know where you are. So the reams are starting off just like you did last time. You have already dominated them, and they are out in the world. And Zagat says to you, "Here is my proposal. Very dangerous. Maybe I go out with the reams this time and try to negotiate with Sheba if it comes to it."
"Good Lord, why? Let us knock this guy out, put a bag over his head, and bring him back here."
"Very well. It's smart, smarter, but
let us do what we do best." He thinks about it for a second. "Best? Let us do what we're supposed to do."
Very good. Very good.
Any deviations from the routine will be suspicious.
Very good.
Dinfa's going to do an insight check on Zagat.
Okay.
5.
Yeah, she seems nervous. Like, off her game, for sure.
Yeah, he's going to keep an eye on her. He's going to go to her later.
Okay.
So, again, we've sort of shared general fears about potential treachery on this mission.
Yeah.
But at least nobody, I mean, I assume we haven't openly spoken about the possibility that, like, other people from the Goblin Market could come after us.
Right. That's right. Okay. Yeah.
And Charnak's not going to be the first one to broach the subject.
Yeah.
But he's keeping his eyes open.
Yeah. Okay. We know she's been taking the noble's body into the tavern just after noon the last 3 days.
How is he known in these parts again? By what name?
The noble.
Mm-hmm.
Gregor.
Gregor?
Gregor Wendt. W-E-N-D-T.
And people still call him that, even though he has the voice of an old woman?
We are back in his home plane.
He is known here in his own right.
Yes.
I see.
He is the son of... sorry. He's the son of...
He's the son of a bitch.
He's the son of Gregon and the Countess Bavera Wendt. They are the...
I don't know how you could forget those names. I promise I listened to the briefing this time, I swear. Very well. Let us make contact.
Okay. Okay, you guys going to get in your reams? Take minute control?
Yep.
All right.
After all, contact is the reason that we're here.
Today.
Today.
Okay.
Yep. I'm going to wait for... I'm going to go under last.
So okay. At this point, we've already sort of
done
the casting. They're moving to the operating area. We are now sliding in.
Yep. All right. Sam, you're going first.
Yeah.
And Tim.
Yep.
And they both lie back and they are out of it, John.
And I'm just going to, as they're going down, I'm just going to be taking notes in my little notepad.
Uh-huh.
And as I go down, I'm just going to rip out a sheet and I'm going to hand it to Zagat. And it's just going to ask the question, because I don't know how much they can hear while they're under. And just what's wrong with you? Why did you want to go with the Reams? That's crazy.
And she'll take your paper and she just writes back to you. H is Hawthorne. And that's where we're going to end.
Ayo!
Episode 3.
Whoa.
Of shit.
The Goblin Market. Yeah.
And Dinfa does not join because he passed out.
His head hit the floor.
Pap, pap.
Hope that didn't break concentration.
Holy shit, right? Damn.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's stuff we don't know.
Yeah. You guys all have your own little secrets now.
We're compartmentalized.
This is very Goblin Market.
Yeah, right, right. Damn. I'm loving this. Now I'm going to be out there all off my game.
Totally off your game.
Dinfa, what's wrong with you? Nothing. Just
and
keep going.
The only one that can talk to him is Ebus while she's piloting Areem.
Yeah. With the...
with your psychic...
The psychic chat, yeah.
Chat.
Damn.
Telepathic speech.
Damn.
Yeah, it's true. Just as a creature, so...
Yeah.
I could actually talk to H.
That is incredible. I'm going to have to... I'm going to have to get this message spell or something.
Does message work if there's not a language? I mean, is it... Because you have to actually whisper.
No, but they can't. Nobody can hear the whisper. Only the person that you're pointing to hears the whisper.
Well, I would think it depends on the mechanics of how is this a polymorph? Is this a brain in that body?
Yeah.
Is this?
Well,
know.
I'm talking about the whisper spell to you two because I don't know who's listening.
Does the target does the target have an intelligence of greater than 3? Right.
No, I agree.
Current state,
and I think conversation in that sense should only be between Ebus and H, but like I need to get you guys in on this. Mm-hmm. That's why I wrote the note, because I was like, I don't know who's fucking listening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was smart. That was smart on all parts. You guys did really good. You guys are good at this game. You guys really are good at this game. It's really fun. It's really fun to DM for you. It's really, really fun. So we've got a pretty big mystery that's unfolding. And you are back in A12. You are in Hardat. And
we're in the danger zone.
And you're in the danger zone. Absolutely.
Man.
So come on back next time. Everybody, if you haven't joined Patreon, it's really awesome. We have our premium campaign, the Mountain City Mayhem, which is related to the first campaign, but only kind of.
It is the longest currently running campaign of the Dungeon Dads podcast.
That is true.
And listen, if you started with this campaign and now you're caught up and you're going, oh man, I want more. There's
two options.
There's a whole lot of episodes in our first campaign that are there ready and waiting. And then of course, Mountain City Mayhem.
Yeah.
And all the bonus content, baby.
All the bonus content available on Patreon. Mm-hmm. And at some point, kids be like episodes.
At some point, kids be like... And I'll just say, we when we first started the first campaign, we were really made a big push for this. And we're going to do it again here. If you like what you hear, even if you can't join us on Patreon, please give us those fives and scribes. Subscribe to our podcast. Give us the fives on the rating system.
We read them all and we love them.
And we're gonna bring back the thing where we read some of these.
Guys, we had a great recommendation on Facebook. I think I took a screenshot of it here. Yeah, I did. I can read this for you now.
Do it. Read it for us. Yeah. Yeah. Who's it from?
This is from a guy named Tobin James Greywolf. Cool. It's a public thing. I feel comfortable saying his name as a result of that. He's listening to Campaign One. I just hit a point in episode 85 that made me stop and come here to write this review, so here we go. This is a real pleasure to listen to on multiple levels. First, we get to hang out and listen in on four friends sincerely enjoying each other's company. Second, we get to see how these characters bond and learn how to work together. Third, we get a wonderful and at times hilarious array of voices. Fourth, we get a very fascinating and organic story that seems to take a life of its own at times. And last, but certainly not least, we get to know Tom, Tim, Sam, and John through their interactions with each other and their sharing of their lives. This podcast has inspired me to take it up again. Since it's been over 20 years, I have some catching up to do, but I am grateful for the inspiration. Thank you, and very well done, y'all.
Awesome. Thanks. Love it. Thank you, Tobin.
Woo! I'm getting a tingle. It's just incredible. Awesome.
And believe it or not, guys, we put a lot of work into this podcast, and reviews like that are literally the only reward. And we somehow still think it's worth it.
It's still yes. so
not,
worth
yeah, not literally absolutely. The only reward. Yeah. We also have some very generous Patreon subscribers.
Yeah.
Even yes. if we sometimes get too excited because we're not good at converting foreign currency.
Yeah. Oh man, I got all that knock in my purse now. I love it. Get that knock.
I will also add, and maybe this will be cut out as an inducement to join the Patreon and some of our bonus content. I'm not even sure if it's legal to use this information to promote our podcast, but one of the most popular episodes we've done that we released as a bonus is just 30 minutes of the four of us trying to record a 30-second Manscaped ad. It's pretty amazing. It's
pretty incredible. Yeah. It's like herding cats, but in the best possible way.
Yeah. If you think we have trouble staying on task here, wait until personal male grooming is involved. That's all I'm going to say.
Available on Patreon.
Yes. Awesome. What are you waiting for?
I guess it's time for the next one, huh, guys?
Let's do some bonus talk.
Thanks for coming by.
Yeah, come by. And come by to the Patreon.